Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, we're back, we're black, we're brown, Epson.
Yes, come through. Hello.
Hey, Mandra, how are you?
I'm fabulous. I am so proud of you. Can I just say that?
All
I stand
right.
for you. And y'all know I gush about Tiffany, but I'm so proud of you, the launch of Molly Moore. I don't really follow Kickstarter, but I think it's pretty freaking amazing, the early success of this project. So where are you at? How much have you raised? And what has been the reaction? Because it feels like on my end, people are going nuts, as they should.
Well, honestly, we had a really great first day. I mean, it's been a week about, and it's been awesome throughout. So the first day, I think we were like 10 or 20% funded. But what was really special is that Kickstarter chose us as what they call projects we love. And so I like looked like I was like, what? They sent an email. So I was like, oh, my gosh. It's like the Kickstarter like Emmys, you know, or Oscars or whatever. But what was really special is that with projects we love, you don't know if you're going to be on the front page of Kickstarter, but we were. So it felt so crazy to scroll through Kickstarter, which really literally has thousands and tens of thousands of projects that are live now, and to see only two brown faces, and one was mine and one was Molly's. I was like, oh my God. So that was honestly.
It looks so good. So did you have like a Kickstarter? Like, because I've looked at Kickstarter before, and you know how some of them are kind of janky looking. Yours is so clean and professional, and it's clear that this is a serious book by a serious author who means like who knows her business. Like, you're going to donate to this campaign, and we're actually going to come through with what we say. So like, talk about how you put it together. Did you have like a Kickstarter consult? Wait, what am I trying to say? I can't use words anymore. What is it? What's that person who gets paid a lot to tell you what you're doing wrong?
Yeah, no.
Consultant. Thank you.
No, I have to say, so what we did was I became a Kickstarter expert. Honestly, so what I did was I got this book literally called, I think it was called like the Kickstarter Bible, something or other. And because what I did was I was listening to different podcasts about Kickstarter, and I was watching YouTube videos. And there was one guy in particular that I felt like he really knew a lot. I can't remember his name. I'm sure his book is around here somewhere because I bought his book. And I found that he had a book on Amazon. So I was like, oh my gosh, the Kickstarter Bible or whatever it's called. It's like this green, white, and black book. So I bought it, and it was so helpful. And I honestly just read it and went step by step. And I gathered folks from my team. So, you know, the Budgetista has a fairly big team. And what I did was I was like, okay, I need a Molly Moore team. And we got a project manager, like who's already on the Budgetista team, but we pulled someone to help us project manage. And we split up about 3 or 4 months, and we said, pre-Kickstarter, during Kickstarter, post-Kickstarter, what does that look like? And we started to map that out. And like, because one of the things I've learned with Kickstarter is really the true work is beforehand. And the more work you put in beforehand, that's what you see afterwards. So, I mean, we like all the visuals you see, for the most part, 80 or 90% of them were already done before Kickstarter. Like that video, oh my gosh, the video, it took forever because our videographer, his computer was slow. But so I had to tape it and tape it again. And like Molly, thankfully, was already drawn. Obviously, the book was done. But like it was, I'm not even going to lie, this is probably the most stressed that I've been. I'm not stressed now, but leading up to the Kickstarter, it was the most stressed that I've been since like I started the first literature challenge. I mean,
it's a big deal. What's your goal? How much?
$35,000.
And how long did the process take from start to finish, like getting the page and putting it together?
So the Kickstarter itself, like the actual page, not long, but we started planning 8 weeks. So you figure like what, like a month and a little bit of change, you know, like, yeah, about a month. No, no.
Eight weeks is 2 months. Yeah.
Oh, you can tell it's been a long
time. I know that now. I have a baby. My life is by week now.
Right now. He's 54 weeks. You're like, honestly.
Listen, those people, come on. Why?
But yeah, okay, so ahead. Literally it was like, it was crazy because we were just, once the Kickstarter launched, we were like, yo, we just launched a new company in 8 weeks. Mm. So the team, what we did was that we met every Monday and Friday. We still do. We meet Mondays and Fridays. And then we kind of, like on Mondays, we assign the tasks. And on Fridays, we just kind of like regroup and make sure they're done. And so they have been amazing because it's not just visually the Kickstarter. That's the easy part. Before the Kickstarter launches, you have to figure out, well, what are your rewards going to be?
Yeah.
How are you going to fulfill those rewards? How much is each reward going to cost you? Like, so for example, we have, when you like, you go to mollymoore.com and you say, oh, I want to get a book. Well, every book that you get, I've had it in there where I am going to also give away a book. So now I have to calculate how much does it cost to print the book that you're buying? How much does it cost to ship you the book that you're buying? How much does it cost to print the book that you're not buying, but the book that you're getting for another kid by proxy of you getting that book? So every penny, I literally have this Kickstarter spreadsheet where for each reward tier, I know to the penny how much it's going to cost to fulfill this reward. Like I had to calculate everything from credit card costs that Kickstarter charges 20 cents for every time anyone makes an order, like anyone chooses a reward. And then there's a 2% Kickstarter fee. So if you don't calculate those things right, you might say, oh, this reward, if you give me $30, you get these 5 things. But if you haven't done the math, you might not realize that those 5 things are actually going to cost you $40 to fulfill. So I did like the level of math. The math alone took me a month to figure out fully. So I know exactly that for every tier, when you make an order, I know when someone orders the Molly Moore book and like some other tchotchkes or whatever, like for $30, that I make like 15 of those 30. And that 15 is what I use then to, like, all that extra money is going to be used to hire teachers to write more curriculum and lesson plans and things. So, yeah. But it's been a labor of love. But when I tell you it was to the point where I was literally just standing in the kitchen looking off to the, like, out the window. And my husband was like, are you okay? I'm like, who are you? Like, especially the week before, it's not the kind of stress I wish on anybody. It was, you know, quite honestly, it was not healthy. And I was like, okay, Tiffany, you know.
You hid it well.
I know.
Why did you hide it? You don't have to hide that kind of stuff.
You know what? I didn't even realize that I was that stressed until I was looking at myself in the mirror. I'm like, yo, you look like hell, bags in your eyes. Honestly, what it really hit me when, this might be TMI, but it really hit me when I missed my period and I'm not pregnant.
Oh.
That's when I was like. Stress. Yeah, because I was like, I was getting all the symptoms, you know, like my face was breaking out. And I was like, oh, period's coming. Then I look at my Ovia app and I'm like, according to this, I'm on day 4. I'm not. And so I was like, and I know I'm not pregnant because I have an IUD inside. Because, you know, y'all know that I had like a scar removal surgery maybe like a month or two ago. So they put like an IUD without the medicine in it, but to like prop open my uterus since my uterus tends to basically congeal together.
Why don't we even bother with the disclaimer of TMI anymore?
I know. Like, y'all know about all my uterus.
Thousands of people literally know what's inside your uterus. Right, I know.
So as a result, I know that's how I know I'm not pregnant. I'm just sharing all that to know that that's why, because I know that the IUD is in there. So when I didn't get my period, I was like, so that's why I looked at my app, because I'm like, I'm getting all the symptoms. And I was like, wow, I totally skipped it. And that has never, ever in my 40 years ever happened before. And I called like my doctor. She was like, are you under stress? I'm like, extreme. She's like, yeah, too extreme. Mm. And then that's when I was like, okay, I need to like, I'm proud of what we did with Molly Moore, but I pushed myself too hard. Not to compare myself to Beyonce, but after homecoming, Beyonce said she would never push herself that hard again. And I was like, I feel you, girl. Mm. I mean, this is not homecoming, but that's what it felt like for me.
It's so your I'm proud homecoming.
Of the team. I know. I am proud of the team and I'm proud of myself, but it was too much, quite honestly. Like there are boundaries where it's like, at what cost? So like, yeah. So, but if you haven't already gotten your book, you could push us over the edge so I can sleep at night. You go to mollymoore.com, grab you a copy. And every copy that you get, we even have bulk orders. Like for every copy you get, I give away a copy to a kid that might not otherwise have access to books. So I'm excited.
It sounds like you need a mom to come visit you and just slyly order something from online and it shows up at your door and it's a big ass container of calming gummies.
I know.
Anti-stress vitamins. I'm like, mom, what are you trying to say?
I know.
She's like, honey, you're a little on edge.
I would say that, like, honestly, Superman has been, like, awesome. Once he kind of realized, like, he was, like, you know, like, doing extra cleanup. And, like, babe, I got the laundry. Why don't you go lay down? Mm-hmm. I was like, do I look that terrible? He's like, yes, you might want to take a shower, too. I'm like, okay.
Oh, well, tell you the same crap people tell me about having a baby. It all gets better. You won't even remember. You're going to want to have 50 more books. In a year.
I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever do another Kickstarter. I'll tell you that much. I definitely do want to have more books, but.
Well, explain the, explain the reasoning of, because you're, you know, the mission with the Kickstarter isn't to like raise money that you need. Like you said, you're using it for to hire financial educators, but it's also like marketing, right? For your book.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk about that decision for anyone who might be thinking about, you know, for their business or whatever, a new launch, something on Kickstarter.
So the good thing about Kickstarter is, the original use that people, I guess why Kickstarter was created is like, people are like, how do I get funding for this idea? I need money to create the idea. So you put the idea out there and people basically fund your idea, then you create the thing. So maybe it's like a doll or, you know, an app or whatever it is. And then once you get the funding, you make the thing, you give it to the people who ordered it. But for me, I was really using Kickstarter a little bit more strategically because I thought, okay, how do I get the word out there about Molly Moore and honestly kind of like get pre-orders, you know, because I didn't need the money for the book itself. Like typically people need the money for the thing they're creating. I didn't. So I was like, well, how do I get the word out there? Because with Kickstarter, it's its own movement. And so people quite honestly are not like, let me share Tiffany's book. But if you share, you'd be more willing to share more of a movement. So I was like, okay, so what good thing can we do with the movement? And I'm like, you know what? What if we gave books away? That was always my intention anyway. But I'm like, what if I made that something that people can participate in? And as I was creating the financial literacy stuff for MollyMoore.com, I honestly ran out of ideas. And I was like, well, I know so many dope financial folks. You know, like, what if I use also money from the Kickstarter to hire some people to make even more curriculum that I can give away for free? So it was like this great, like, marketing tool to get Molly Moore out there. And it's not me saying, you know, hey, buy my thing. To me, that is the smartest thing you can do in marketing is not to actually say, hey, buy my thing. Because quite honestly, people don't care about your thing. They care about what's something internal inside them. So instead, what I'm saying is, hey, help kids. And people don't say no to help like kids. And there have been different stages. And I'm learning, like in the beginning, it was before Kickstarter launch, I created a separate Molly Moore list where I was like, go to the website. If you're wanting to pre-order this book, give me your name, email, and number. So I knew I had like this list of people that were distinctly interested specifically in Molly Moore. And so the night before it launched, I let them know that I have some like discounted tiers on the Kickstarter. So those people came in droves. Then a really popular podcast, they made me their Black Business of the Week. So that dropped. I made sure to make that drop on the day that Kickstarter was dropping. I was like, okay.
Shout out to the Friend Zone.
Yes. They're awesome. And so that was like the first major push. It was like.
Was that just an unexpected shout out or did you reach out to them like, hey, I'm doing this?
It was random. So randomly, like, so not randomly, but 2 years ago, I was on the Friend Zone. A friend from the Friend Zone ended up reaching out to me and said, hey, we'd love for you to come back. You know, it had been like 2, maybe even 3 years. And I was like, sure, I'll come back. So I was scheduled to come back anyway. And then randomly, I was texting her and it was like, hey, you know, friend, like, what day did you want me to come back again? She's like, oh, you called me just in time. I'm about to head into the studio and make you my Black Business of the Week. I was like, wait, can you do it next week? Because I told her about the Kickstarter. And she was like, okay. So thankfully, because that would have been not a wasted shout out, but it's like where to send them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then I was like, you know, I'm going to email Synergy. You. Exactly. So it was honestly, it was perfect timing. These are things that kind of happened accidentally, but if I was going to do a Kickstarter again, I would purposefully line it up for like whatever the biggest media I can think of to drop the same day as my Kickstarter and to lead people there. So the first round of people were like emails and Friend Zone people and social media. And then when that died down, I was like, okay, what's kind of like the next round? Then it was, well, I would say emails and the podcast. And then the next round was social media, social media, social media. So we did that. And then this weekend, I was kind of like, okay, the numbers are slowing down. And a friend of mine was like, girl, you better dial for dollars. And I'm like, what does that mean? She's like, you know how like, you know, like you see like, those telethons that people are literally cold calling people. Mm-hmm. And she was like, everyone hits you up in your inbox and asks you for financial advice, right? I said, yeah. She said, well, hit them back. So I created this like little like kind of script, like, hey, but I would personalize it. So I wouldn't send it to anyone I didn't know. But I'm like, hey, Mandy, hope all is well. Did you know I have a book? And I would outline it a little bit and then send you to mollymoore.com. And I did that all this weekend, literally just copy and pasting on my phone, copy, paste, copy, paste. And up until now, that has generated about $3,000. So that was awesome.
Wow. And you're like a political candidate. Like, I get, real? I'm just like, Elizabeth Warren, I love you, girl, but can you stop? Stop sending me emails. I know you're in trouble, girl. I know, right? Nevada's coming up and you're stressed, but can you not send me 5 emails an hour? Sorry.
Marketing,
yes.
Because I wanted to slow down on the emails. I was like, well, if I Facebook messaged like probably 100 people yesterday, and then I Instagrammed another 20 to 30 people yesterday. And so I'm going to keep that up, because what I found was I just assumed that all my friends knew. And so many of them, you know how Facebook is like crazy with the, they don't let you see, like the algorithm doesn't let everyone see what you're doing. So I would say, honestly, 80% of them were like, you have a book? And I was like, wow. So it really behooves you that if you have something, don't assume that the people that are in your life know. So I Facebook messaged all these people. I tweeted, I Instagram all these people in their inbox, sent them the cover of Molly Moore, like a picture, and it just started flowing in. And so today, what I'm going to do, actually, the thing I'm going to do now today is actually I'm going to start texting. Like, so there's probably maybe like 20 or 30 people that I'm going to text in my phone that same kind of message. Hey, Mandy, it's me, Tiffany. Did you know I have a book? And this is what I'm doing with it. And would love for you to go pre-order at mollymoore.com. And so I'm excited about that. And then the next phase for this week also, too, is we're going to send out a press release to hopefully generate some press. So you have to think about your campaign in waves. Like, you know, I wouldn't do all at the same time. It's like, you know, the email wave, the social media wave, the text message wave, the social like DMs wave, you know, the press wave. And I'm doing podcasts and things like interviews. So now that's like coming up in a week or so, like the podcast interview waves. And so I'm hoping all of those waves cumulatively add up to the $35,000. And then I can rest easy, at least for a little bit. So honestly, but it's been really interesting, because I love marketing, to see like what worked and what has not worked. And It's crazy, because
I can't wait for my copy.
I can't wait for my copy. People are like, don't you have one? I'm like, no, it takes 2 to 3 months to print.
You're trying to do it the old fashioned way, man.
I know. It's just,
it's going to be so sad. I'm so, oh, you're just so inspirational. I can't wait. You're the kind of friend who I love to have, because I'm so excited for you. And I'm just like, yes, yes, I need to create something. I need to be back out there. I'm going to work tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, are you?
Back. Watch out, world.
How are you feeling?
A whole brain is coming, a new brain. I'm feeling good. My mom is here. I'm working from home for the week. I talked to my boss last week, got him on board with my plan. Anyone looking for a strategy for that, you just leave it till the last 30 minutes of the conversation. And just roll it out to them what you want to do. But yeah, so I'm working from home for a week, and then I'm going to do 3 days in the office and 2 days telecommuting. Do people still say that? Telecommute? Whatever.
No.
Working from home.
You're the oldest young person I know.
W-A-F-H, okay. And my mom is going to be here for 5 weeks, which is great, a blessing, because Bebe has decided this week to refuse the bottle.
No.
And it is highly stressful, because mommy's boobs are going to be an hour and a half away in Manhattan, and homeboy needs to learn how to take that bottle.
Yes.
So he and grandma are going to battle it out this week. We'll see what happens. Wish me luck. But I'm very excited to go back. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Feeling good.
Good. I know. It's crazy. Like, you know, I feel like you've been home for so long, but then home not that long, you know?
You know that podcast, The Longest Shortest Time?
Yes.
I continue to think, I get it. It is like the longest, shortest 12 weeks of my life. But, you know, thanks for being on this journey with me. Well, and I'll keep you guys posted on how I'm doing, but I'm feeling good. I'm glad to have my mom here. She just brings a sense of calm. It's nice to have your mama here. You're just like, nothing can go wrong. Mom's here.
Aww.
It's nice. I love her. I love her for leaving her husband in St. Louis and the dog and coming. And I'll do this for my future kid if he wants me to one day, because it is it's a gift. It really does take a village, and I don't really have one. So for her to drop everything and come, it just, you know, it means a lot. So.
Oh,
we're happy.
How is she? And like, you know, is it the battle of the GMAs?
No. I mean, they don't speak the same language, so that kind of helps. They give each other their space. You know, my mom hung out, and then she went upstairs to take a nap, and you know, you give them space. They're very good. They're very sweet people. Nothing dramatic like that. Yeah.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost worked there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
All right, should we take some questions, though?
Yes, my favorite. If you have a question, ask. I forgot the song. It's been a long week.
Ask yes. A question, you guys.
Yes.
Hit us up. You can find us on Instagram at Brown Ambition Podcast or hit us up on Gmail at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com with your questions. Any kind of question. Let me shake up this reader mailbag really quick. I have a good question from
the digital reader mailbag.
The digital. Mm-hmm, you hear it shaking? Mm-hmm, 1 sec. Okay. First question comes from listener. Let's call her Frenchie. She says, is it a good idea to borrow from your 401k in order to buy a home? I believe you guys have talked about this before, but I'd like more information. Thank you for giving me all the knowledge you've gained. You've helped me get my grown-up life together. Aw, thank you, Frenchie.
Yes.
401k Ooh. Loan. For a house.
It's not my fave.
Not your fave. Why?
Only because you run the risk of, one, not paying that back. And as someone who drained their 401k to try to save their house, I don't necessarily regret it, but I'm still behind the retirement eight ball as a result. So it just makes me nervous because I really believe it is your younger self's job to look after your older self. And it's not the worst decision in the world, you know, but it also puts your potential retirement in jeopardy. So it's just not my fave, especially because you're young now. You're supposed to use like your good knees and your good back to put the work in. So I much rather you put the work in now, save, get an extra job, you know, whatever on the side and save the down payment that you need. And then you leave your retirement alone for when you don't have the good knees and the good back.
Yeah. And I'll just add to that really quickly. When you take out a 401k loan, you know, your employer basically gives you the privilege, I guess, gives you the option to borrow from your 401k. And when you borrow from your 401k, you know, yes, you're going to pay yourself back. And I have taken a small 401k loan out before and I paid it off within a year. And it was nice because, you know, I paid myself back and they're low, low interest and any interest you pay goes back to yourself. So it made sense for me. But what I'll say is you need to really feel secure in where you work, because if you were to get laid off or leave your job, your employer would be asking for that money back immediately. And I think you have, don't quote me on this, but I think like 30 to 60 days sometimes to pay that money back. So let's say you take out 20 grand for a down payment. If you're in the middle of paying it back, you've got 10K left. You've got to be able to come up with that. Or I believe the risk is that it'll count as a withdrawal. And then you get hit with all those 401k withdrawal penalties like taxes and things like that. So you have to really, you know, feel secure in where you're working and accept the risk that when you take money out of an investment account and put it into a home, yes, potentially can increase in value. But you have to look at home values in the area where you're buying. It could be unlikely that you'll earn as much return on investment from your home as you would if you just left that money where it was sitting in the market. For some people, that may be worth the risk. For some others, maybe not. So weigh all your options. So, I see the pros, but also there's some cons to consider, too.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not the worst thing, but, like, you know, there's – I don't know. I just, like I said, I'm actually not mad that I took out that money, but I'm like, you know, Angeline, my financial planner, is like, girl, Like, you need to be, I actually have to be more aggressive in saving for retirement now because of that choice that I made that long ago. And I'm like, I don't have the knees in the back like I used to.
Okay. I think we're not worried about you. You're fine.
Molly Moore's going to retire her mommy. Bye, Molly.
Thank you very much for your question. Let's do one more quick. Here's one about switching banks from a listener who wants to be anonymous. She says, I found your podcast last year. Still catching up. I've learned so much. I'm trying to move from my brick and border bank, Bank of America, because of all the hidden fees. And I'm thinking of moving to a Discover checking and savings account. The problem is I only have one credit card and it's that Bank of America card. Do you think it's wise to keep it as is because it's my longest standing credit card? So my credit score won't be affected. Right now I'm in the high 700s.
What do we give her a name?
Anonymous.
I'm gonna call her Twin. Cause Twin, that's my first card too, Bank of America.
Samesies.
Triplet.
Girl, they got me when I was interning in New York outside of a Jamba Juice, I wanna say. Sign me right up. Go ahead.
I think they got me in college. I was literally like, I'll trade my life for a Snickers bar, Alex. Thanks.
Give me that free t-shirt. Thank you.
And so honestly, Triplet. I still have my bank of that same card I still have. And I was with Bank of America and I'm no longer because fees, but you don't have to stay with just because you have a credit card with that bank doesn't mean you have to have a bank account with that bank. I don't. So yeah, you can keep that card. And I honestly suggest it. Like I keep my Bank of America card. It has my interest rate of all my cards is probably the highest. I think it's like 9 or 10%, but I don't really use it. Quite honestly, I think I put my Netflix on it and pay it off every month just so I can keep it open.
Wait, 9 or 10% is a low interest rate.
Is it?
Compared to what credit cards have today.
Today, you know what? But I have, you know what it is? I have a Wells Fargo's card that I locked in a rate at like 5.25%. That's why I think about
In 1983?
No. I'm kidding. No, it's okay. But I locked it when I got it. It was like some special like Dang. Promo. It's so, but honestly, I honestly pay off all my cards in full every month. So I don't really look at my interest rates
as much. Of course, but of course.
But I'm not going to lie. During when I was renovating, it got a little sticky. There were definitely some months where I wasn't able to pay off my credit card. But yeah, so I'll say all that to say you can certainly leave Bank of America as far as your checking account goes and keep your credit card. Those two things, you don't have to have both at the same bank.
Exactly. And your intuition is right. It is better to keep that old credit card open, especially if there's no annual fee. There's no reason to close it. You know, maybe charge one thing on it so that it continues clocking that you're making payments. And I learned this the hard way. That old Bank of America card that I had from college, I had a low interest rate, like 9% too, with the credit limit was like $1,000. Anyway, I lost it, never used it, and they canceled that card on my behalf for not using it. So my credit score was fine because I had other cards, you know, and, you know, more than just the age of your credit factors into your credit score, but it's definitely one of the factors. So you want to consider that. So yeah, that is your answer. And once again, of course, Tiffany and I are not financial advisors or investment advisors. So take our advice like you would advice from a friend and don't come for us.
Exactly. Don't come for me unless we call you.
Yes. Seek true professional advice if you're, you know, looking for something more tailored to your specific situation, because you can't, you know, tell us your entire life on Instagram. All right. Thank you guys so much for your question.
Yes. You guys always have really great questions.
Booster break.
It's time to boost. It's time to break. It's time to boost. It's time to break. Now, Mandy, which one will you take? Boost or break? You know, I'm never going to remember that song again. You know that, right?
That's totally fine. This was a one-time performance, you guys. You're welcome. You know what? I don't want to sound like I am just trying to send you guys to our advertisers, but I have to boost Rothy's really quick. Rothy's is the shoe company that I know, Tiffany, you've been wearing their shoes for how long?
Yes.
Now? Like
a year or so, and I love them.
I have had no occasion to put on a regular pair of shoes for quite some time. I've been wearing these slippers, it feels like, for 12 weeks now. But I finally went to Target yesterday, you guys, with my husband, but together. Ooh. It was the second time he and I have been out alone in 12 weeks. And I put on my Rothy's flats, and they're so comfortable immediately. Like, you know when you get flats and they break up your toes? I was a little nervous that I was going to, like, be hobbling around Target. Because I like to go up and down every single aisle. I haven't been there in a long time,
Me
you guys.
Too.
Yeah. But they were so comfy, and I love that you can wash them.
Yes.
And they're made – aren't they made from, like, recycled plastic or something like that?
Yes.
Love
Girl,
that.
Girl, welcome to the cult.
Right? I got the pointy-toed flat. Love it. And I guess while I'm shouting out our advertisers, my third love, nursing bra. I can't wait. Okay, not to be, you know, of course, whatever. I've been at home for 12 weeks, so, you know, bras weren't always necessary. But my third love nursing bra, I can't wait to whip that out and take it to the city next week when I go back to work. Cute nursing bra. Come on. I'm excited. As you can tell, I'm just excited to put pants on and go places again.
I'm wearing my third love right now. Honestly, it's one of the few bras. I know I could probably should say this for like our actual ad, but like I don't typically, it's hard for me to find like a bra that actually feels comfortable, that's not like digging, but I could actually wear it. Sometimes I'll forget. I'm like, wait, am I wearing a bra? Ah! And so much so that, I mean, you know, we got like a little, you know, they give us one so we could try it out. I actually went back and bought two, like with my own money.
See, I'm like third love like you were with Rothy's. I've been rocking them for about a couple of years now. And I love it because I was hitting that point where I'm like, is Victoria's Secret it? Do I have to continue pretending like I need this super padded bra? No, I love third love. It feels like bras for real people. And
yes,
you guys know we actually we turn down so many advertisers because we don't like them or we don't agree with their business or we just don't use them or they're not relevant to us. So we only really, you know, say yes to people or businesses that we truly love the product. So
yeah.
Shout out to Rothy's and Third Love. And always check our show notes because even if you missed the ad this week, I always put in the show notes where you can go to the website to get a discount, usually for BA listeners that the advertisers offer us. So go to the show notes. We have a promo there right now for Third Love. And you can check out how you can get some Rothy's of your own in the show notes.
Yes. If I may make a suggestion, I would suggest the camo loafers are everything.
I love Rothy's. Honestly, make a suggestion.
No, but honestly, so I got my sister Tracy up here, the camo loafers. And I'm like, honestly, it's snowing outside, Tracy. She's like, I love them. She wears them. Those are my personal favorites and hers as well, but they look so stylish. And I'm not, if you know me, I'm kind of a tomboy. But so I like a really comfortable, I love the fact that I can look like, oh, I'm on purpose stylish, even though I'm really feeling like I'm wearing a sneaker. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those are like the super like stylish ones that you
and
know,
what's the holdup? You know, that's what I'm, because they're not cheap. Right?
No, they're not.
So how long are they lasting? Because I just started to wear mine and New York City notoriously tears up my shoes. So what? Tell me the truth.
No, honestly, I think I've had my camo ones for at least a year and some change. And they're like the most worn shoes that I have. And when I tell you, they look exactly like they did, which is actually surprising because I tear up. Like if you see my Uggs, you're like, but like, exactly. But no, they actually look exactly the same from what, and I've washed them. So I've washed them at least three different times, and yeah, they. I guess because they're the plastic, I don't know, but they don't beat up. And I'm a shoe beater upper because I'm also one of these people that like slightly walks on the side of their shoes, you know. So yeah, so like, but they hold up really, really well. Like yeah, I can honestly say Rothy's are my favorite go to shoes. I wish, quite honestly, they had something for like the winter, something super cute because I can't wait for the fall and spring so I can throw them back on again.
Yes. All right. Shout out to Rothy's. Check those show notes, guys, for the promo codes.
Yes. And I am going to boost. So something pretty amazing happened. And even I, like, it was funny because I was talking to Jarrell today and he was like, you know, I don't get really impressed by things that happen for the Budget Easter anymore. I'm like, thanks, Rando. And nobody asked you. And which I'm like, that's fine. Because honestly, we don't really talk about it at the house. But this is one thing that I'm not going to lie. I screamed. So I was on Twitter the other day. Someone tweeted me. His name was Patrick. He was the technical or tech columnist for Time magazine, I guess. And he was like, I see you, Budgetista. And it was a picture of me in like this black box. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, that's a weird TV. So I'm like, well, where is this? And he's like, I'm in a cab. I almost fainted, Mandy.
Wait, so, you were on the cab TV?
I'm sorry not to scream. I know.
How? Yeah.
So you remember? All right, so this year, I think her name's Megan, that your friend, she works for CNBC. Right. So Mandy's friend, Megan, listens to Brown Ambition, unlike my friends. Because
oh, hey, Megan. Terrible. What's up, girl?
So she listens. And so she asked me, like, you know, hey, you know, sometimes I do these short little videos. And, you know, for CNBC, they'll go on the website, you know, they'll go on like a blog post or whatever. You know, we'd love for you to come on and like do so. And I was like, okay. And so I came, I did them. And she's like, I'm not going to, you know, no promises. There is a small, minute chance that there is a company that takes care of the edutainment that you kind of see in the back of like a cab. Mm-hmm. And she's like, sometimes they will pick up videos that we do, you know, but she's like, that's, you know, I guarantee they'll be on CNBC.com, but that is not up to us. And I was like, oh my gosh. She's like, don't get excited. It rarely happens. And I said, okay. So I did them, had a lot of fun. And truthfully, she said, the videos that get picked up are like the really short ones. And you know, if you know me, I'm not exactly someone that's concise. So I was like, well, obviously I'm not going to ever get picked up because I can't get these tips under 5,000 minutes. So I did the tips. They did well. You know, like they posted them on CNBC. They're still rolling out. But I didn't think about it. So when he sent me that picture, and he was like, I'm in a cab, yo, I literally screamed. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And then my agent, Heather, she's my book agent, was in a cab and she sent me the video. I'm like, are you kidding me? I feel like I want to go to New York just to get in a cab. Oh my gosh. So I can't even believe it, honestly.
That's like, amazing.
Yeah, I'm at a loss for words.
I'm going to have to take a cab ride somewhere.
I know, I actually have to go to the city tomorrow. And
I'll just stop at a cab and be like, can you just turn on the TV real quick? I left my phone in here.
And so I don't know how often it plays or whatever, but I'm not going to lie. I think I'll take the train to Penn Station and then I have to go do a podcast. Actually, the Friends on the actual podcast itself. So I think I am going to take a cab just so I can be in there and be like, ooh, I hope I come on. That would
You're
be
You're going to tell them you have a podcast too and it's called Brown Ambition.
I did last time. I am definitely going to shout it out.
Shout out to the, we're giving them free press. Hey, Friend Zone. I subscribed. I forgot about that. I thought, oh yeah, the Friend Zone. Okay. I need to get some podcast. I'm so excited. I have like two big fat new books to read on the train. I'm probably going to end up sleeping the whole way to the train. Like, let's be honest. Yeah, because my commute, I'm excited to be just trapped on a train with nothing else to do but read a book or listen to a podcast. Ooh. I have the Bell Jar and I have, I think, what is it called? Life as We Know It? I don't know. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I'm both exhausted and yet happy and yet exhausted and yet happy.
You get some rest.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, oh!
You earned it. I'm really proud of you.
Oh, thanks, man.
But I'm more proud of you if you are happy and healthy.
Yes, I always say that. Like, that is the point. You want to be healthy, happy, and whole.
You want to enjoy your success.
Exactly. And I feel happy, honestly, and I feel, I guess, whole. I don't even know whole, like, what that means. But I'm not going to lie. I have, like, this, like, raging cough that I suspect is, like, my body being like, if you don't lay down, I'm going to put you down. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, it's like this dry cough. If anybody has any dry cough solutions, because I cannot seem to
shake
it.
Humidifier?
I think so. I was thinking that. I was like, I think I do need to get a humidifier.
Girl, in these New Jersey, New York winters, yes. I have one by my bed. I'll send you a link to a cute one.
Oh, yes. Is it like the elephant one that it comes out of its trunk?
No, but that sounds like it's for a child, but you know, do what you do. No, this one's shaped like a little teardrop.
Ooh, I think, oh, okay, yeah, Sean, send it to me because I do need a humidifier, even though, yeah, I do need a humidifier because I'm like,
whew. Put some essential oils in there. Ooh. Eucalyptus oil, magical.
Yeah.
Or as my mother-in-law just shoved some Vicks what's it called? Vicks VapoRub.
No, don't they call it? My friend she was Dominican and her mom used to call it Viva Peru or something like that.
What? VapoRub.
Like, I need, yeah, exactly. And I was like, what? She said, you need VapoRub. I'm like, oh.
Don't trick me into making fun of them. I can't.
No.
I respect and love all Dominican abuelas.
Look, Dominican, it sounds just like the way my Nigerian parents would say it.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it's very similar in the pronunciation. But yeah, honestly, it's been an awesome week. How has baby Rio been? Has he been?
If he takes that bottle, he will be. That's the new stress of the week. He's a new baby every day. Last night, though, slept till 5 a.m.
Okay.
I'm afraid to say that out loud because it is a miracle. Like, he slept 8 hours. Now, I did not sleep because, of course, I woke up at 2 a.m. in a cold sweat. Like, where's the baby? Why have I not been woken up?
Summons, right?
And then it took me about 2 hours to calm down. But he's amazing. And you know what? I am just letting him lead. I am done with blogs. I am done with e-courses. And I asked for a refund for this baby sleep training e-course that I was like, you have 100% cashback guarantee? Great. I would like a refund because I'm just letting the baby tell me what he needs. And honestly, I have to remind myself of that all the time. It's not like a one and done fix, but I have had so much less stress and just letting him tell me how much he wants to eat and when he wants to sleep and how long he wants his nap to be and not stress about, will it interfere with his night sleep? And you know what? He gave me 8 hours. Like, I'm so proud of him. You know,
I'm just like, you did it, baby. He's like, you just let me rock out. Like, Jerome was telling me when they first brought Alyssa home, like, because they read somewhere that the baby's supposed to eat every 2 hours.
Yeah.
So they were waking up every two and waking the baby up.
They tell you that in the hospital, and it's true until they gained your birth weight back. But no one told me until then, and I'm still like shoving the boob in his mouth, and he's like, ma.
And he said the first doctor trip that he went to, they were so tired. And I was like, what's wrong with y'all? They were like, well, you know, we've been up every 2 hours. They were like, the doctor was like, if the baby is asleep, let her sleep. If she's hungry, she will wake up and ask for food.
Yep.
You don't have to like literally forcibly wake her up to force feed her food. They were like, what?
But they don't tell you that, and you feel like an idiot, but no one tells you. I feel it. I feel that anecdote deep in my bones.
Meanwhile, baby Alyssa is now 13 whole years old. So, you know, somehow she survived, and Rio will too.
He will, and I'm just letting him take the lead. And me going back to work is going to be good for both of us. Mommy needs to think about something else. Yeah, I'm very excited. But he is a dreamboat, and I'm really enjoying – I love him to bits, and this has been a wild 12 weeks. I will never, ever forget it. No matter what anyone says, I will not forget it. But I'm really proud of myself, and I'm proud of him.
I'm proud of you too, Mandra.
Likewise. Hugs. Not too tight.
And not too long.
Small hug.
Get off me. All right, y'all. It's been an awesome show as per usual.
See you guys next week.
Yes.
All right. Feel better, Tiff. Seriously. Rest up.
Thank you. I am.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.